Good.
All right, good, good. Listen, before I start, I want to read a statement to you guys. All right, I just want to make a couple of comments. And please don't, I'm not talking down to anybody. There's 53 guys in every active NFL roster. Football is the ultimate team game. 11 guys go out there, they blow the whistle. If you're on defense, 10 guys do it right, one guy does it wrong, we're looking at a touchdown. Same thing on the other side of the ball, same thing on special teams. It's the ultimate team game. Every decision we make will be in the best interest of the New York Football Giants. All right? I want you guys to understand something. I'm not going to discuss any aspects of contracts. I'm not going to talk timelines. I'm not going to talk progress. I'm not going there. I didn't do it in Carolina. I ain't doing it up here, plain and simple. Okay? One of the most important responsibilities that any GM has is to eliminate internal and external distractions, okay? It's my responsibility to create the atmosphere that allows players to play and coaches to coach. That's part of my job, and I really believe that. And the other thing I want you to understand, I'm not going to respond to hypotheticals. I'm telling you right now. So you're sitting there saying, you know, what's Dave doing? What's he talking about? In the past 2 days, there have been two reports about Odell. Okay, they've been floated that he won't take the field without an extension, and the Rams are interested in trading for him. I understand the reports. People are going to print stuff. I get it. But I want you to understand this. Neither Odell nor his agent have contacted us regarding either report. So to be clear, I'm not going to respond to questions about either report, and as I stated earlier, every decision I make is going to be in the best interest of the New York Football Giants. So, with that being said, let's talk football. All right?
I don't know if this qualifies covering what you just covered, but do you want Odell on your team?
I'm not going there. Next question.
Dave, you said last month that Odell had a clean slate with you, with the off-field stuff and everything.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Isn't that slate been scuffed up already?
What's that?
Has this slate been scuffed up already?
You tell me.
There's been a lot of stuff, right?
You tell me. Next question.
You know, when the Rams executives were asked about Odell, that report and Odell Beckham, they said, you know, we got to be careful. We don't talk about other teams' players. But you've seen what we've done in the offseason. We're not afraid to trade for anyone. Have they contacted you about Odell Beckham?
I'm not responding to that report.
Dave, what was your response? What was your reaction to the video? Not either report, but the video when it came out 3 weeks ago.
What was your response to it? You know, it came out. It's a video. I'm an old man. I got bad eyes. I see this seven-second thing flashing in front of my face. All I saw was the pizza. Look at me. Okay? So at the end of the day, you know.
Have you, I know Pat talked to him. Have you talked to Odell, though?
I'm sorry?
Have you talked to Odell?
I haven't had the opportunity, no. Not since he went to L.A. Come on, ask a football question, will you guys? Come on, help me out here. I'm sorry. Best player, how's that? Yo.
I have a football question for you. Do you think Odell will be catching touchdown passes for the Giants this year? That's a football question.
Nice try, Gary. Next question. I can't hear you, Kim.
I'm sorry, I'm 17 people back. At your introductory press conference, I asked you if you thought Odell was best as a solution for the Giants in terms of rebuilding and getting back to a winning organization. You said yes. Does that answer still stand?
Well,
you're better with him.
The bottom line is, Ernie taught me, and I told you guys this, you don't quit on talent.
Dave, on the outside looking in, what's it like going through the Carolina Panthers sale with somebody that's been there and to see it unfold?
Well, you know, Listen, there's a lot of people down there I really care about. And obviously their worlds are topsy-turvy right now. So I feel badly. But, you know, it is what it is. But I feel badly for them as people because it's hard. It's very hard when you're sitting there and you don't know what's going to happen next. It's tough. And I feel for them.
Steve, we saw the Jets trade up to 3. Can you give us an idea? Has there been a hot market for the number 2 pick without maybe saying what teams? Has there been a lot of interest in the number 2 pick? not Odell.
It's good. I know. It's legit. It's fair. I'm trying to give you the right answer. Okay. Have we had calls? Yes. Yes, but we haven't set our board yet. All right. And again, it's about when you're drafting, when you're signing unrestricted free agents, it's all about value. It really, truly is. I've said it. I think I said it when I was with Kim on the NFL Network. Guys, this is the second pick of the draft. We really have to picture this guy putting on a gold jacket. Because if we can't picture that, really, and I had that. I remember my very first year in the league. Excuse me, I was with the Bills. We had the third pick of the draft as an intern. And Dick Roach, hell of a DB coach, veteran DB coach, said, we're talking, and he made the statement. We're not talking about, is this guy the third best player of this draft? Is this guy worthy of being the third pick of any draft? So that's the conversation we're having, is whoever we, you know, when we set the board and have our conversations, is that guy worthy of being the second pick of a draft? Dot, dot, dot. Can we picture him putting him someday maybe putting on a gold jacket?
So, Dave, having said that, so you're saying this second pick has to be worthy of a second pick any year, right? So when you, let's say for quarterback specific, he has to, this quarterback, if you would take one at number two, has to measure up not just to this class, but to all classes you can think of.
Absolutely.
So you can't.
You have to think that way, Paul. You can't, you can't draft anybody with the second pick hoping. You know, you've got to listen. Kajana Kana was the first pick of the draft back in 90. You know, Carolina, their first year, they flipped it. Okay, Kajana Kana was a great college football player who was on his way to having a great college career. I mean, a pro career, and he blew out his knee. You can't account for that. You just can't account for it. Some guys just are injury busts. It happens.
But you are not. So when you look at Josh Rosen and Allen and Darnold and, you know, Mayfield, whoever, you know, you're comparing them with each other, but you
right.
also have to look at them as compared to Eli or Roethlisberger or
absolutely.
Rivers or Mariota or any of those guys.
You have to.
Yeah.
You know, Paul, you can't. You know, it's almost like, it's like when teams reach, okay, we need a defensive tackle, we need one. And then they drop down and they reach for a guy, and maybe he's a really good two-down player, really good run player, and they're hoping he'll develop into a passer. No, you can't do that. You got a picture in your mind. That, you know, you take the, I'm sorry, I keep whacking that thing on you. You know, you think about quarterbacks. Does he make every the area code we're picking in? Does he make everybody else better? Is he the guy? Can he do what Eli did? 2 minutes left in the Super Bowl, and he takes that team down the field. Boop.
And
you've got to be able to picture that.
And that second pick, you say Hall of Famer and things like that, and quarterbacks. I mean. Are you sure that the guy you pick at number two, if you stay at number two, will be the first or second-rated player on your board?
I don't know that yet because Paul, I'm not dodging
the
question.
Board is done. I mean,
once the board is done, most likely.
Value for a pick.
Absolutely.
You're not going to take the fourth-rated player at the physical position.
Most likely not.
He's got to be one or two.
Dave, in your mind, did trading Jason Pierre-Paul change your draft strategy specifically?
No, not really, Kim. I think that, you know, there's a number of guys up there. We love the value we got for him. Obviously, of course I wouldn't say that. You know, I'd say that. But anyhow, love the value. And, you know, there's obviously players that people are talking about that are worthy of being the second pick of the draft. And it leaves us a ton of options. It really does.
If a player, though, not a quarterback at number two to you is potentially a future Hall of Famer, does that then become an easy decision?
I don't think it makes it easier. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I'm sitting on my big cheeks looking at the board and I'm saying, this guy has got it, you know, really? Is it hard?
Have you ever seen a running back with the skill set that Barkley has?
It's unusual. Pat, I'm telling you, he can string together moves and get in and out of stuff. It's funny, I did him the other right before I came down. He's unique, no doubt about it. He's big, he's powerful, he can step on the gas, he's got different levels of speed. I mean, he catches the heck out of the ball, and he sees the blitz pickup stuff. So, you know, he's unique.
What do you think of him as a person as well? Like a lot of people who meet him, know him, say he's the total package, and you're looking for guys who improve your locker room. Right. Would you say he fits all that?
From what I'm told, I have not met Saquon yet, and we'll have him. You know, I met him for the 15 seconds you have him at Indy. That's silly. You know, not silly, but that 15-minute deal you get. But, you know, we'll have him in. You know, shame on me if I don't know him. And I think that everybody said he's a great, great human being. So I'll find out for myself.
Dave, the culture that you're trying to build here and, you know, getting good guys in the locker room, how does that weigh against talent? Because there are teams that have won with the distractions that you said you're trying to eliminate. There have been players who are hard to deal with but are great players.
It's, you know, times have changed, okay? Were there guys back in the 80s and 90s that were great, great players that were flat crazy and their teams won? Yeah, probably, because it was like we were more tolerant. I mean, you know, I'm an old man. When I played, I didn't care about Joe Schmo being a knucklehead. I played. You know, it's different now. These guys are different. And I'll tell you a quick story. So I'm working for the Broncos. I'm on the road. And director of college scouting was a new guy, so he wanted to travel with me. So I got to travel over 10 days. It was not easy. But anyhow, so we're talking. And finally, after about day 7, I said, listen, there's 6 of us that are scouting. All I care about is that the other 5 guys are working as hard as me. That's all I care about. That's what these guys want. They want to know that the other 52 guys are working as hard as them. They'll put up with the idiosyncrasies. They'll put up with the craziness. But they want to know that everybody's working as hard as them. That's just the way it is.
That's kind of your overall philosophy, is that win now or rebuild. Because you obviously have a 37-year-old quarterback, but you're coming up with 3-13
you
season.
Know, I'm sorry. I apologize, Mike. I think that, no, you're important. I think that, you know, it's about winning. And, you know, I've seen someone told one of the reporters that we're in a, you know, I'm in a teardown. We're not spending $62.5 million on Nate Solder, or spending the money on you know, Patrick Olmeyer. We're not trading for, you know, Alec Ogletree if we're in teardown. I'm not doing that. It's about, you know, we've evaluated the roster. We have, you know, we've developed a plan moving forward. It's about winning now. I mean, who wants to lose? I don't.
Dave, what were your interactions like in Carolina with Tina Becker? A lot of folks don't know much about
her. Well, you know, I'll answer it real quick. I spoke to David Newton yesterday. Tina is very qualified for what she's doing. I don't know what.
By saying no one's untouchable when he was asked about Odell. So what makes it so hard to say, if you feel this way, Odell's part of our team, we want him on our team, end of story?
He is. He's on our team. You know.
And he will be on your team?
Hey, listen, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, drop dead of a heart attack in 2 seconds. You know, I hope not.
You know what I'm
Although
saying.
I'm worth more alive than dead now for my wife. But anyhow, no, so all kidding aside, he's on the team, Kim. What do you want me to tell you?
That he's not available via trade.
He's on the team right now.
So he is available.
I just said he's on the team.
You can't say whether you want him to continue to be on the team? Or?
Listen, you don't quit on talent. I told you that.
Do you?
Two more guys.
What do you consider, this is not specific to Odell, although obviously he's part of the conversation, what do you consider to be a distraction that's too much? Are you talking about a contract issue or a player who's a bad guy
Distractions or anything? I want you to think about it this way, okay? I can't say this anymore because you guys are all working out of the homes. But back in the day, when you didn't work out of your home, you walked into your office, and you knew the person in the third cubicle on the right was a pain in the neck to deal with, the person in the seventh cubicle on the left was a pain in the neck to deal with, and you knew you were going to have to deal with them at some point during the day. Did you want to go in? No. My responsibility is to create a locker room atmosphere that they want to be there. They want to be there, and they can focus on their work. Listen, we're all human beings, and sometimes, as hard as we try to put things in boxes, we can't always do it. So that's a big part of my responsibility, eliminating those distractions to allow coaches to coach and players to play.
All right, one more.
What impression are you under about Odell's work ethic and his commitment? You mentioned earlier the commitment to work the hardest you can. And
kid works his fanny off. I mean, his rehab is going terrific. Sends us pictures, videos. Yeah, he's funny. He'll send us a video about him running. He's an excellent worker.
All right, thanks, Dave.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for clearing that.